Hey, Chris.
Yes, Aja, how you doing?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So, how's it going out there in City of Compton?
It's about to rain for the first time in about 6 months. We're all
Oh,
happy.
okay. That's what's up. Well, congratulations on the rain. You know,
Yeah.
everybody, more gold investors. Look, I was on Facebook, I think, and I saw this group that said Black Real Estate Investors, Gary, Indiana. So I sent Chris an inbox out. I said, who are you? Because I want to know, you know, if there's some people investing in Gary, I want to know what's up with that. So why Gary?
Well, we haven't personally started investing in Gary yet, but we started in Detroit. I was told by a lot of investors that invest in Detroit that, hey, Gary is another Detroit, so you might want to start looking into that. So we decided to form a group and try to get some people involved that have some investments in Detroit. Like I said, we have some people who already invest in Detroit. I mean, sorry, invest in Gary that are investing in Detroit, and they're saying it's pretty much the same. So that's why we want to start investing in Gary. It's only about 200 some odd miles from Detroit, and what, 40 minutes from Chicago. So that's why we started wanting to get into in Gary.
All right. Of course, I have Lockie Shea on the phone with me. She is more reserved and conservative than I am. Not really, Chris. How are you? This is Lockie Shea Nadir. I'm also a host here at More Gold Investors. So
Hello,
you
how are you?
say, how
Hi.
you doing?
Pretty
So
good.
you good? Good. Thank you so much for being on the show. So you
Yeah.
were talking about the distance, you know, that Detroit is as it relates to the city of Gary, and that being one of the interests or one of the reasons. And so tell us about some other reasons that, you know, when you think about Gary, because, you know, when you talk about investing in a place like Gary, people automatically assume that something must be wrong. They might think you're a nutball because they want to know, are you serious? Have you heard that or have you experienced that at all in your since you decided that this might be a possible place for investing?
Like I said, yeah, I've heard that before. We're trying to invest.
You said you're trying to invest in where?
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, my phone rang. Yeah, we're trying to invest in the Midwest because that's where pretty much America, that's the last oasis, I call it, where you can pretty much invest in. The coasts are too expensive. You either got the Midwest or the South. So we're looking at the Midwest because of that. We want to get investments that are, at a reasonable price. And Gary is just one of those places on the list. Gary, I already said Detroit, Cincinnati, you got Indianapolis, you got a lot of different places. So but I think Gary is, and Gary and Detroit are pretty much on the cheaper end as far as real estate investing.
So you're out in LA. What kind of returns are you getting on your properties in Detroit versus what you could get in LA?
Dollar for, okay, well, my return on investment percentage is way higher in the Midwest than it is in California. California, when you do buy and hold, the only way you can make money basically is you buy the property and you in hopes that the property goes up in value, and then at that time you can go ahead and sell. Whereas when you purchase in the Midwest, whether it be Gary or anywhere else in the Midwest, you're buying property at a much lower rate, so you can pay cash for the homes, so your return on investment is much higher, closer to like 11, 12, 15%, because you're paying cash for the house, you don't have a mortgage, and you just go ahead and do the investment, I mean the repairs, and you get your buyer or you get your renter, and you just pay your taxes, your insurance, maybe a property manager, and some other, I can't remember the other payment, but I'm on $800 a month. I take in about $400 after and
Oh, wow.
after taxes. So yeah, so it's your taxes, property taxes, taxes, property manager, and I think that's it. Yeah, so you get about $400 after you pay off everything.
That's pretty good, Chris. I
Yeah,
mean,
versus
especially in,
California, it's about.
I mean, wow. I can definitely see from an investor standpoint, I can definitely see the gold, if you will, and
Yeah.
how it can very much be beneficial. From your experience, as an investor, tell us more about some of the other ventures that you have. And maybe if you can give a comparison just from what you know of, like inner city neighborhoods, and some, not only just maybe comparisons, like you mentioned Detroit. Tell us like some things that you kind of see that are very similar in Gary as well as Detroit that may very well even be barriers to investing in a place like Gary.
Well, first off, they're pretty much identical from my research. You're looking at, of course, a desolate population, a place that black people dominate as far as the population. You have a vacuum where, in the automobile industry, Detroit left, pretty much left Detroit, and in Gary, the steel industry is no longer. So those are two things. You have a high crime rate and stuff like that, and then you have a lot of abandoned buildings. So they're pretty much identical as far as problems and possible barriers, because you have to get, once you get into these places, you have to start establishing relationships. And if you that's the scary thing, because when you get in them, you have to put your money up to get these people to do work for you. And you, and if you're not there, then you have a, it's a big risk, So that's one of the things I have dealt with when I first start investing in Detroit, was getting involved with people, talking to people, and developing trust. Because you got a lot of people who, who will turn around and just rob you. They'll say, "Oh, I can do this. Do I can rehab this for you. I can manage this and that." And I had that when I first started. Now I kind of worked through that, and I've gotten developed some trust though. But those, that's the huge, that's the biggest barrier, is getting, establishing trust, on with boots on the ground, people on the ground to work for you and do what you want them to do with your money.
Chris, you said you're buying most of your properties with cash in Gary, well, in Detroit right now.
Yeah. And Gary too, once we get to Gary, it's going to be just pretty much the same thing.
Okay. So even with the rehab, you're doing cash.
Yes. Yeah, we're doing cash right now. Our rehabs are running anywhere between from start to finish, from purchase to rent. What we call it, from rehab to rent, it run anywhere between $17,000 to $22,000. That's from the actual purchase to getting the materials, having these construction, the rehab done, and getting the tenant in. So it's about 17K to 22K.
Okay. How are you finding your out-of-state deals?
Oh, that's a good question. I got a couple ways. I have, well, first of all, we have the people in the group. We have everybody from title company people, attorneys, realtors, any and everybody you need. We have them in the group. So I just put a shout out, say, "Hey, I'm looking for a vacant property, 2 bedroom, 3 bedroom. I don't want to pay no more than 7,000. I don't care if it's a rehab. What you got?" And people, realtors are wholesalers. They'll go, do the little work and whatnot, and they'll just send stuff to you, and send you pictures and whatnot. And I have people on the ground in Detroit. I have a vacant property manager. What he does, he goes around and he takes pictures of places that I might be interested in, or we might be interested in, and okays it if it's, if the place is viable. And if it's not, then he says, "Hey man, hey, don't purchase it." So that's how I get a lot of the my deals. And also
Wow.
too, I think Gary just had their auction. Detroit has an auction twice a year. They have their tax sale auction in September and October. We just went to the one in September and we did some house hunting. We purchased, and we're going to go back, I think next week, and do the same thing and go out and we're going to be the boots on the ground and go out and actually look at the houses and determine if we're going to buy them or not. The second auction is really a cheaper auction. Houses start at $500. So we're going to go out there and do that. But those are the ways that I look for homes. And also on top of that, I don't know if Gary has this, but I know Detroit has a ongoing auction through the city. It's and they have.
Wait a minute, Chris. Chris, you broke up. All we heard was you have an ongoing auction through the city, and then it cut off.
I'm sorry. These people are calling me. It's called the ongoing auction in Detroit is called the Detroit Land Bank. And what it is a 24 auction, 7 days a week, and they sell houses too. I don't generally buy houses from there, but those are different avenues, different ways we purchase homes in the Midwest. Well, in Detroit, actually.
So you mentioned the auctions, and now, and as you also kind of alluded to, Gary has, we do have with Lake County, the tax lien sales. Have you considered participating?
Well, we're going, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yes, I was just going to ask, have you considered participating in the upcoming tax lien sales?
I was just getting my information, and I talked to people, I think Lake County, and they were giving me the information, and we probably will. If not, what is it? Is it March or is it December or March?
It's March. So they just had one that was in September, but that one was online.
Yeah.
So this upcoming one will be in March, somewhere like in the middle to beginning of March. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the registration cutoff is somewhere around February the 22nd.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're thinking about that one. If we don't get into the March one, we'll definitely get into the one in September 2019 online auction.
Okay.
Yeah, because what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and start forming better ties with people in Gary before we really start, buying in Gary. It's been kind of slow right now. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to build. We have a Chicago black real estate group too as well. And that one's really big. It's like 500 people. We just started that one a couple months ago. And since I think you told me that Chicago is real close to Gary. So what we'll probably do is pull a lot of resources out of Chicago to come help with Gary as far as realtors and contractors, if we can't get people in Gary. So we're going to try two different ways, try to get people in Gary and then with the group and go down there, of course, and visit, and then try to talk to people and get other workers out of the Chicago group to come help us as well.
That sounds like I think that's a wise decision, especially since you're getting a little more feedback, from Chicagoans in the group.
Oh yeah.
Now what I would like to know, Chris, is, I want you to tell us a little bit more about how you even got started with the whole idea of wanting to be an investor at all. Tell me a little bit about, your career path and what led you to where you are right now.
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I am a second generation investor. Somebody's already blazed the trail for me. My dad already blazed the trail. He's from New York, way of the Caribbean. So he has that foreigner mentality. If we have foreigners, how they do business, their mindset is different from Americans.
For our listeners who may not know what that means, tell us what that foreigner mentality is.
Well, at least you know, the foreigners are more opportunists. They come from where they're from, other countries. Where they don't have a lot of opportunities. So when they come to the United States, they don't see the same things we see, because we're here as Americans. We see a whole different America. We're like, oh, woe is me and whatnot. Well, when they get here, they say, shoot, I see opportunity. I'm going to go ahead and jump on that. I'm going to make that money. I can't do this in my country, but I'm going to definitely make it happen here. And they just pass everybody up, everybody, you know, blacks included, everybody gets passed up. All of, that's when they come over here. That's what they do. They just come pass us up. So my dad had that mentality. And when he was born in New York, but he was raised in St. Kitts in the Caribbean. So when he first came here, he worked hard, worked a whole bunch of different jobs in New York, then moved to Texas, got his degree, and then moved to California to be a teacher at Compton Community College. He saved his money and he went on and started buying property in the Compton area in the 70s. And he just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And as I got older, I got more involved with it. And I've been involved with it ever since. So so when I see opportunities across the country, I just duplicate what I've learned here in California and just do it all over. But the Midwest when I've gone across the country, I found out the Midwest and the South too. The South is pretty good, but I found the Midwest for me is more of a better fit, as far as investing, as far as location, and as far as future growth. Like I said, Indianapolis is, based on research, is a real good place to invest. I want to invest in Gary because that's a black city. Detroit, of course, is a black city. Chicago's a little more expensive, but you know, eventually I want to get in there. Cincinnati, Cleveland, and other places. You know, so that's my background as far as investing. And I only invested. An investor / landlord / property manager. That's my area of real estate. There's a whole bunch of different areas or branches, I like to call them, in real estate. My area is just landlord, investing, and what's the other one I just said? Landlord investing and property managing. Those are the three things that
that's interesting because, you know, when talking to various people who enjoy real estate, you know, on different levels and, you know, kind of find their niche, you know, but oftentimes I do hear people say they try to steer away from being a landlord. So I find it interesting to hear that is an area that you, you know, you consider something that you like. Tell me more about that, and what is it that has allowed you or caused you to kind of narrow down those three? And which one do you like best?
Well, that's a good question. You know what? You're right. I hear the exact same thing. People, especially black people, we do not want to be property managers. And I just try, when I hear that, I just sit down and talk to the people and tell them, try to explain to them. And what I found out when talking to people about being property managers is a lot of black people don't have that business savvy, or that patience when it comes to managing. They don't want to deal with people in that manner. They just want to pick up a check and go. And, you know, when you are a property manager, you do have to engage with the public a little bit. Sort of, you know, you can hire middle people to do a lot of that for you. And that's what I do. I manage, but I call myself an overseeing manager. I don't necessarily manage per se.
Not like an overseer, but like a.
No, not like that. No. I have here in California, it's different from where, here in California, I have it, my setup is a little different versus what I have in Detroit. Here in California, I have property managers, on-site property managers that actually do the actual managing and they do the repairs. And what I do, I manage those people. So I don't really do hands-on. And in Detroit, I have regular property managers and they handle everything for me. I just pay them. So it's a little different. And in the Midwest. So I encourage people to get involved into property managing. But of course, the best thing in the coup de grace or the best arena in real estate is basically being a investor. That's the number one. I mean, that's the top dog. It's just being an investor and make the money. And everything else comes underneath that. You know, if you have a title company, you're a realtor, you're a wholesaler, you do all other little facets. Investing is, you know, that's where the people in Fortune 500, all the top real estate people, they're not wholesalers. They're not title companies. They're investors, you know. So that is where you want to be. So, of course, I would want to be the investor. That's the number one. But I don't mind being a landlord and dealing with the tenants per se. And I don't mind managing property or whatever either. But of course, I want to, everybody wants to be the investor, so that's
Chris,
pretty much it.
we talked a little bit about your background. What are your visions for areas such as Detroit and Gary?
Good question. Yeah, you got some pretty good questions. I like these questions. Oh man, we're looking. Well, I'm gonna tell you my personal goal, then I'm gonna tell you our vision, the group we have, because my wife is from Detroit, so I have a little more vital interest in this in Detroit. But my personal goals is to get my family, my kids involved in the real estate business. Next year we plan to take all of our kids to Detroit and really start getting involved in the real estate game in Detroit and have it expand from there to Gary and to other places in the Midwest. But we want to start there first because that's where we started, and get them involved in learning how to do repairs, learning how to cut grass, learning how to do demolition, just learning how to work with the environment, with the houses, and learning how to get into the government and into the city political arena in Detroit and get involved in that whole game. So that's what we're doing as far as my personal goals, to get them and create a legacy for them. So once they get involved with this, they can have something, because I can't, if I was employed, if I had a 9-to-5, I can't leave my kids a job. You know what I'm saying?
I heard that.
So I want to have something. What I'm doing right now, actually, I'm working for them, honestly.
Yes.
From here until I die, I'm pretty much getting this stuff together. I'm getting a little piece of pie for myself in my pocket. But for the most part, I'm working for my kids and saying, hey, when I die, I'm going to leave you this, you this, and you this, and you that. And you better not sell it. They already know. I told them, I said, if you sell this property when I die, I'm coming back to haunt your butt. You know what I'm saying? Do
Okay.
not sell my property. You know what I'm saying? Because I want you to give it to my great grandkids and my kids I've not seen yet. You give it
Yes.
to them. So that's my personal goal. My long term goal for the Midwest, not just for Detroit, but for the Midwest, especially places like Gary and Detroit, because those are pretty much the blackest cities as far as the Midwest, from what I'm. From based on my research, what I want to do is that I want to buy back the block. Buy back the block means you want to buy the properties, street by street, block by block, and have a stronghold in those communities to change those communities, to make those communities grow. Then from there, we want to go ahead and start buying commercial properties and getting involved in the business arena in Detroit. Because we wanted to get the resident homes, because if you got the resident homes, you can dictate who's there and you can control that. So that would be our feeder base when we start buying and start creating businesses. Those people will start using those businesses that we just created, and so that's the route we want to go. And then from there, we want to start buying bigger and bigger commercial properties and go from there. And we're renting right now. But we also plan to, after a while, plan to start selling some of our homes back to the black people in the Detroit areas and a lot of the other distressed areas once we get to that level, so they can be homeowners. So we just don't want people just renting and renting and renting. We want them to be homeowners, because when you there's a big difference between a homeowner and a renter. The attitude is totally different. So Detroit is a really a renter city. But eventually, we want to change it to a homeowner city, even though we may lose money. But the ultimate goal is to build up a black community and build back a black nation within this nation here in the United States. So that's the long-term goal. That's what we're doing. And that's why we created all these black real estate investment groups in the Midwest first. Then we're going to go either, I don't know if we're going to go south or go east. If we go south, we'll go south, and then we'll go east, and we'll come back west to have a whole conglomerate of network of black real estate investment groups, so we can all have something to pull from. Say, if you're in Chicago, you want to come invest in Dallas, you'll have a group to go to and type up, say, hey, you know, I want to do this. Who can I talk to? We'll hook you up with this person here, you know, and we'll be all one. We're all Black, and we'll just keep doing that with, you know, and keep feeding off one another, you know, and keep building within one another. So that's the long term goal.
Wow, Chris, you have said a mouthful, and now I actually see even clearer why it is that Aja wanted you on the show. No, and I mean that because, you know, a lot of the things that you're talking about are definitely some of the desires that we have and some of the visions that we have here at More Gold Investors. You know, you mentioned a couple of key points. So for one, you mentioned about buying back the block, which seems to be very popular in terms of the term, the name, and just what other communities are desiring to do. There is actually a group in Gary, or, you know, within Chicagoland area, including Gary, called Buy Back the Block. And then there are many of them, you know, throughout the U.S. I don't know if you've heard of them or run into them.
Oh, yeah.
But the concept of what that means to be able to come into a community and literally buy block by block by block so that you can control who's on the block, also being able to give something or empower the community that you actually come to serve. So, you know, when I hear that term, I get super excited. Now, you mentioned two other things. You mentioned mindset, and you talked about generational wealth, and I'm saying mindset because generational wealth, you know, you spoke about your children. Do you mind me asking, how old are your children right now?
I have a 5-year-old. I have 2 15-year-old twins, a 16-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 27-year-old, and a 30-year-old. I got
seven kids. So you have a
kids.
Football team.
Yeah. We got a blended family.
Yes, which is wonderful. And you have them at every stage.
Yep.
And really, there's no stage that's too young to get started. You know, I think it's so important when we talk about generational wealth and why we do what we do and why it's so important. And it's not just about being able to pass down the financial wealth, but being able to create a mindset, which is what you touched on when you talked about the things, the wisdom that you share with your children, even wanting to plan a trip so that they can see, you know, what it is that you want them to do. And, you know, just the roles that they may play, you know, in the bigger scheme of things. So how important, though, do you see mindset? And I'm speaking, you know, general, because when we think about real estate, you touched on something key when you talked about your father and you spoke about the foreigner mentality and just how foreigners think, you know, opposed to how some Americans might think who've been here all of their life. Foreigners see it as an opportunity. But haven't you, and I'm sure Aja can chime in on this, you know, oftentimes when we hear people talk about what we don't have or what we're lacking, you know, some might say that it's a scarcity mindset. And I know on this show, we really did a lot with mindset and, you know, just changing the thinking. And I oftentimes hear people, you know, when they say that, they will make even a comment to say, you know, those foreigners, they came over here and the government gave them all these loans and gave them all the money. They taken over and they taken everything. Now, what would you have to say to listeners or to people who actually might believe that? Because my thought is a little different. Wait a minute, yeah. Chris, before you answer that, I need to tell the More Gold Investors listeners that Lucky Shay has me fired up. Because, you know, well, we need to delve into that. So, okay, so, Chris, I'm going to let you respond to that.
Yeah. I'm a follower of the late, great Dr. Frances Quest Rolston.
You know,
she's a, you know, psychologist, man. So I'm all about getting your mind right before you move. Yeah, you know, you can have all the knowledge you want and whatnot, or have all the understanding and whatnot. But if your mind is not together, you know, if you're not dealing with personal issues the way you should be dealing with, if you're afraid to make a move because you don't have your mind together, that to me that's the most important thing, is having your mind right before you start doing anything. You know, because you know, that is the quintessential to me. That's the quintessential core you need to have, really, before you start getting out there and getting involved and doing some things. So that's one of the things that we have as Black people. We have that's, you know, the mindset is just.
It's everything, isn't it? it's when I think about mindset, and as you're saying, it to me is everything. It is that foundation, and so you're so right, because what do you have if you don't have the right mindset? You know, even when you talked about the difference, and again, to those who are listening, but I doubt if anybody will, you know, take offense. Would it not be the same thing when you think about your renters who will be a rental for the rest of their life and the owners? Is it a different mindset?
What do you mean? Is it a different mindset? What do you mean?
So I'm saying that people who choose to only rent, mm-hmm, and people who choose to own, mm-hmm, would you say that their choices is based on the way they think?
Absolutely.
Their mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah. A renter's mindset is totally different from a buyer's mindset. I rent here in Compton, and you know, Compton has really changed. Compton is now, people think Compton is Black. Compton is now 85% Latino. So believe it or not, the majority of people I rent to are Latinos. I don't rent to a lot of Black people because a lot of Black people left the community. They're scattered all over. They went to the desert. Some went to Las Vegas. You know, we don't have a lot of Black people in Compton anymore. The renter's mentality, you know, you have to, to me, you have to educate the renters, the mindset of the renter. If you want them to really get involved in this, you gotta educate them. You know, you gotta really sit down and have them overcome some of their fears. We haven't got to that point yet where we are going to be sitting down and trying to do that, but that's going to be the goal when we get to Detroit. We're going to, you know, hey, we're going to be ready, and then we're going to sit down and say, hey, you know, you got a lot of opportunities to buy houses. For example, I know in Detroit, they have an opportunity that is offered through the city where you can actually get anywhere between $5,000 and $25,000 interest-free loan to rehab a house. All you have to do is get a house and you live in it, and they will give you anywhere between $5,000 to $25,000. And all you need is a 560 credit score. That's basically the F credit score, you know, and it's interest free. And a lot of people don't take advantage of that. They don't. I was just talking to a tax person the other day in Detroit. She's a tax /lawyer/realtor. She says she does tax returns all the time. And she tells people, renters, hey, you getting $8,000, $9,000 back. Why don't you just go ahead and buy a house with that money? You know, so there's a lot of people out there that's trying to help people make that turn of fear, you know, getting over that hump. Because we are as Black people. We got that renter's mentality, you know, never want to put no roots down. We just hustling, bustling. You know how we do. You know, it's just going to take some time for us to get over that and become, you know, slow our minds down. Buy a house instead of buying cars and tennis rims and tennis shoes, you know, and just really invest in ourselves. We haven't got to that level of pride in ourselves yet, and that's another issue that has nothing to do with real estate. That's just that's a personal issue that as Black people we need to start and getting involved. That it goes back to getting your mind right. Get your mind right first, then you can start making those moves. Then you can start buying houses. Then you can start doing everything and living your life and be happy, you know? So, you know, that's my take on getting your mind right. It's just, you just have to start with yourself.
You know, Chris, you mentioned that level of pride, and you've also spoken on the mentality of an immigrant, but I really think, well, I know that we had that level of pride, mm-hmm, but I think in this generation and probably the generation before, somewhere right there we lost it, because your story about your immigrant father is very similar to my family's story of migrants coming from Mississippi to Chicago and buying up a bunch of real estate and investing and opening up businesses, because they had that mentality of, okay, we're coming from Mississippi where people are getting hung and chased out of Mississippi, and we're coming to Chicago and we have all of these opportunities. And a lot of people who are already here in Chicago aren't taking advantage of these opportunities. So we're going to take advantage of these opportunities. And I think somewhere along the way, we lost that sense of pride, or we became very comfortable. We became very comfortable once the next generation came to Chicago and just chilled, because now they got student loans and they got all of these so-called luxuries that that their parents didn't necessarily have coming from Mississippi or Alabama or Arkansas. But I think we're only one generation behind, maybe two generations behind that sense of pride.
And it's interesting, I you know, just to kind of continue to what you're saying, to your point, this has happened, we've seen it, and the question being why. What I see is that there was the period in time, you know, we went from lynching to being chased out of places to being segregated to being integrated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like once integration took place, now, me as a person who once was told that I had to go over here, now I'm allowed to eat with you. Now I'm allowed to go to school with you. Then I do begin to get comfortable. Because what in my mind was something that maybe I feared, I could have possibly feared for my life. You're telling me that I can join on forces. So if I'm joining on, now I'm getting lazy. Because now I don't have to work as hard. I once had my own, but now I don't. And I'm not speaking, of course, about everyone. But it's like sometimes when someone is doing something for you, you know, this is why I believe as a parent, I believe in chores and a whole lot more. But when people are doing something for you, then over a period of time, you become handicapped because you lose the muscle that once gave you strength to push past and do very well what somebody is doing for you that you can do for yourself. And I think that is a main reason why we see as a whole our people in this condition today of just being stuck in this mindset. Like, you know, I can't, I don't want to, or I don't know how to. What are you talking about? You came from greatness.
That's it. That's so, so true. It's funny you said that you talked about the kids, because I'm an old school parent. You know, when my kids, you know, these kids now, they're so soft. They're powder puffs. You know, they can't do anything. So what I do with my kids personally, I make them suffer. I live like way under my means. I live way under my means, you know. So I don't give my kids a lot at all because of that reason. Because you see, the society has gotten so soft itself. Kids are gotten soft. Kids don't want to do anything. They can't do anything. So I really make my kids do a lot. You know, I don't buy them a whole bunch of tennis shoes. You know, they don't necessarily have holes in their shoes, but they get damn near close. I really keep their nose to the grind. You know, I keep them super, super humble, you know, because if you don't, society will get them and say, hey, you don't have to be that way. You know, your parents are doing you wrong. This is what you need. You need iPhone every week. You need all tennis shoes. You know, they should buy your car at 16. You know, so-and-so has that. You should have that too. So, it adds another crease, another responsibility to parents to take their kids and hold them close, tight, and really make them understand that, hey, you need to get this. You need to understand that you do come from greatness, you know, and you need to push through this little weakness you have. So that's why we're taking our kids to Detroit and during the summer, hot summer with bugs and everything, and making them busting their butts out there so they can be humble. Because that's what my dad did to me. I remember catching a bus from Long Beach to Compton with my steel-toe boots on, my jeans on, my gloves. I had my goggles on and a lunch pail at 12 years old, catching a bus by myself and working from 7 in the morning to like 5 in the afternoon, all summer long. All my kids, all my friends out there playing, I was out there working, doing demolition. I was digging ditches. I was doing all kinds of heavy labor, construction work. So, you know, my mindset is the same way. So that's why that's why I'm so driven now, because I appreciate what I'm doing, because I have other sisters who got some of the piece of the pie once my dad passed, and they didn't get involved in it, and they got their piece and they just sold their property, you know. And it's kind of sad. You know, I told them, don't do it. You shouldn't sell our legacy, but they weren't listening, you know. So, but yeah, you have to really keep your foot in your kids' butts and really keep them humble, you know, and keep them away as best as you can from this soft society that's formed in the last, 10, 15, 20 years, I guess. I don't know, you know, 30 years.
Somewhere around there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Chris, you just spoke of legacy. What will be your legacy?
What my legacy as me, what I want to do, or my legacy is, what do you mean by my legacy?
When people think of Chris, when you're long gone, when they think of you, what will they think of?
What I wanted to think of, someone who wasn't afraid to think out of the box, someone who wasn't a trend follower, not necessarily a trendsetter, but someone who wasn't afraid to take a step forward regardless of what other people think. I was just listening to Dr. Boyce Watkins yesterday talk about this. He was talking about how how a lot of Black people are afraid to step out of the box and make a change. They're only okay with it when somebody else is doing it. You know, I want to be the kind of person that is not afraid to try to make a difference, regardless of the consequences that will maybe a person affect me. That's pretty much it.
Wow, I love that, Chris. And on that note, I'll ask you just in our final moment together, what is some advice that you would like to give to our listeners, particularly those listeners who, you know, are listening because they want more information? They're like, you know, right here on the fence. They're thinking about investing. They're thinking about maybe other areas of real estate that they could possibly get into. They may not necessarily be sure, or they may already kind of be in the game. What are some words of wisdom or some advice that you would like to share to the more GOAT investors listener?
I think, first of all, you know, getting your mind right, but really getting the research, doing some research, and really, once you get that research, do something with it. A lot of people, what they do, they get into real estate and other businesses. They get the research and they're afraid to make that move. They're just sitting on the sidelines. They're afraid. Business, not just real estate, but business itself, it can be risky. But I think you should just do the research and then make a calculated judgment on how you want to move forward and just make that move. Just go out and do it. You know, once you do the research, got the knowledge, sit down and put a game plan together and execute it. A lot of times with Black people, we like to do, we start stuff and we don't like to finish it, or we won't even get started because we're afraid. But get over those humps of being afraid and follow through with your goal, what you want to do. But make sure you have a goal in mind first, written in stone, you know, and go over it a couple of times and just follow through it. That's basically it.
Wonderful, Chris. We thank you so much for joining us here on another episode of More GOAT Investors. How can our listeners follow you or find out more information about how to contact you?
Oh, sure. My email is blackrealestatedetroitinvestors@yahoo.com. Or they can go and just Google Black Real Estate and Black Real Estate Investors, Chicago, Gary, Detroit, Cincinnati, Lexington, and you know, all those groups we form, and you know, they can reach out there. They can join. We want them to join the groups, of course, but they can reach out through the groups on Facebook.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show, Chris. And I can't wait to see you on the grounds here and Gary so we can get stuff done.
Yeah, we're coming.
This is a beautiful city, and we need more people like you to roll up their sleeves and help us get it done.
Yeah. Get the boots on. Let's lace up those Timberlands and get the moving.
No, that's right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
We thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.